You're listening to Sports Overnight Weekend.
It's time now for the Combat Sports Update, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or at WBOboxing.com. Take it away, Taco Man.
I am 48 hours away from San Juan, Puerto Rico. Of course, the 29th annual WBO convention, straight up the October 17th to the 21st at the Caribbean Hotel in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Yes, the Taco Man will be there. Pedro Fernandez will be in the house as well. And, of course, Puerto Rico. This is a beautiful place to go. And of course, the World Boxing Organization, the concept behind this year's convention is all about in-the-ring safety. Of course, in-the-ring safety, of course, I wrote about that in depth, and we talk about that in depth after when I get back, because we'll read the story that I wrote for the WBO program. Of course, can't read it now because it's got a debut in the program, and that'll happen on Monday. So straight up, when I come back, I'll read that story to you, and we'll talk about the safety in the world of boxing. Straight up, we're talking boxing, mixed martial arts with my man, Zach Attack Young. Zach, let's go back last week, of course, to the UFC 204, Michael Bisping and Hendo Henderson, of course, the rematch. Bisping not winning so decisively now. What's next for him? Is there an opponent on the online for him?
Well, what's crazy is they've talked about matching him up with Vitor Belfort, which I don't really understand.
After Vitor got licked like a stamp?
Yeah, I guess they want to see him avenge those losses. They really seem to be playing favorites with Michael Bisping because, you know, he is a good friend of Dana White. But I think
he sleeps with Dana White.
he very well might.
He shacks up with Dana White. You know, Dana White, when Vitor Belfort did that steroid number on Michael Bisping in a fight that Bisping was supposed to win, I think Vitor was something like 36, almost 37 years old, and he like, boom, just knocked him out. Of course, he looked like he was 25 from those Flintstone vitamins. Once he realized that this steroid replacement therapy, cheating steroids that he was all behind, I'm talking about Dana White, once he realized his guy got beat because of it, he was against it. Of course, now Vitor can't fight very well. Vitor was beat by Gegard Mousasi. They don't want to fight Mousasi, do they?
No, they don't seem to. I mean, well, there's Mousasi. There's a couple fighters, though, you know, that he could be taking on. The Yoel Romero, Chris Weidman winner. I mean, he could fight Jacare Souza. There's a couple of hungry middleweights out there that would certainly put up a better fight than Dan Henderson, although he did put up a great fight.
You know, Zach, in boxing people sort of understand that you can't fight death matches every time out. But in the UFC, I mean, guys are throwing in death matches after death matches after death matches. So what I'm trying to tell you is that your longevity is not going to be there unless you're licking guys like a stamp real easy. I mean, the bottom line is something's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it's a tough business, and I mean, it's great for the fans, but at the same time, it kind of ends up damaging some of these champions, and they don't end up sticking around that long. I mean, you look at the heavyweight division, and there hasn't been a long reigning champion there.
No, but we'll get to that in just a minute. Straight up, let's talk about Eddie Alvarez and Conor McGregor. Of course, the main event, the UFC lightweight title, 155 pounds, is on the line. UFC going to Madison Square Garden, the Mecca of boxing, across the street from the Great Hotel Pennsylvania, where they have the biggest rooms in town. I kid you not. November the 12th at MSG. Of course, that's live on UFC pay-per-view. Conor McGregor and Eddie Alvarez in the main event. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say that Eddie Alvarez, if he can maintain a size advantage over Conor McGregor, he's got a shot here, okay? But if he goes into a striking and wants to strike back and forth with Conor, he might not find that too nice.
Right, that's the thing in this fight is Eddie Alvarez has a good chance of grappling with Conor McGregor, but it's just going to be if he can get Conor McGregor to the ground, because if he can't, that's going to be a long or short night.
Bottom line is I still want to see Conor McGregor go back to 145 and take on Jose Scarface Aldo, but I don't think that'll ever happen. Tyrone Woodley and Stephen Thompson. Tyrone Woodley, the newly crowned champion, another striker, a great striker. He's taking on Stephen Thompson. I think we both think Stephen's going to win there, right?
Yeah, they're both good strikers. What do you see in Thompson that makes you think that he'll beat Woodley?
Momentum. He's on a roll. I think he's on a roll right now. And I think that momentum and roles are so important in sports. I mean, talk about the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers going into Game 7. I mean, you know, they had lost like three games in a row. The momentum was on the side of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And a lot of times in sports, when momentum's rolling against you, it's like you can't turn back a river, Zach.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at basically any champion, and it's all about getting on a roll.
Yeah. Okay, now UFC Fight Night, November 13th. That's going to be in Ireland. We'll go November, take it back, November 27th. UFC Fight Night, Rockhold in Jakarta. That's going to be in Melbourne, Australia. UFC goes back to Las Vegas for the December the 3rd, the Ultimate Fighter Tournament and Champion Finale. Then it's UFC Fight Night. Then this is the card I want to talk about. I'm talking about UFC 207. Forget UFC 206. Yeah, it's December the 10th, and Daniel Cormier is going to defend his title on that card. But we'll talk about UFC 207. The ending card, the UFC, basically the New Year's Eve card, December the 30th from Las Vegas, Nevada, the T-Mobile Arena, on top of the main event. The babyface assassin, or I call her the babyface lesbian, Amanda Nunes, of course, the defending UFC 135-pound women's champion. Of course, that belt's been passed around like a cheap date. Ronda Rousey gave it to Holly Holm. Holly Holm gave it to Misha Tate. Misha Tate gave it to Amanda Nunes. Now Amanda Nunes is going to defend against Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey coming back 1 year almost to the, well, 11 months after getting, you know, beaten up by Holly Holm. Bottom line is Amanda Nunes is a very good, strong fighter. But can she grapple? Can she do the judo thing with Ronda? Because anybody Ronda does the judo thing on, it's over.
Right. That's the thing is if she tries to grapple with Ronda, you still got to favor Ronda. But if she strikes with Ronda, I mean, Holly Holm showed that that's not the hardest thing in the world to do.
You're tuned to the Sports Byline broadcast, and we're talking chicks, of course, Amanda Nunes and Ronda Rousey. I would have to favor Ronda Rousey, even though I really want Amanda Nunes to win. Why is it Ronda Rousey's the favorite in my mind? I'm setting the line here, say 9-5. Why am I setting that line?
I can see it. It's because of the long reign she had. But, you know, you and I have talked in the past, and that loss that she took with the mystique now gone, I don't know. I think that this fight is really anybody's fight, and I wouldn't want to bet on this one.
Zachary, what happened to Mike Tyson after he was beaten up by Buster Douglas? Never the same.
Never the same, and I could see that happening to Ronda Rousey, certainly. I mean, she had that era of invincibility to her.
Yeah, but once that egg is cracked, folks, we don't know if you can put the yolk back in. Bottom line is the guy that's had his yolk cracked a couple times, Cain Velasquez, a former UFC heavyweight champion, of course, taking on Fabricio Werdum in a rematch. These guys clashed for the world heavyweight title a couple of years ago. Velasquez went in the favorite down there in Mexico City, and Werdum beat him up bad. I think stopped him like the third or the fourth round. The bottom line is Werdum lost his title to the aforementioned Stipe Miocic, of course, of Cleveland, Ohio, and Stipe is now the champion. And Fabrice and Cain are going to duke it out to see who fights Stipe Miocic in 2017. This is a hell of a fight here. This is two guys. The winner goes forward, and the loser, I think, goes home.
Right. You're correct about that. And I think I favor Cain Velasquez, even though he lost the first fight pretty decisively. You talk about momentum, and I think Fabricio Werdum has lost a lot of momentum now.
Well, Cain is a monster. I told you I watched him train. Remember I told you he was training like – they have five-minute rounds. He would have, like, three guys in the ring in the octagon with him, and he'd throw one guy around for, like, a minute and a half, and then they give him another fresh guy, he'd throw that guy. I mean, good Christ, man. I mean, if you have one guy in the octagon with you for 5 minutes, that's hell. But you're talking about three different guys, three fresh guys. He's an amazing cardio specimen, probably the best cardio in all of MMA, except for that time he tried to cheat Mother Nature and went down there and tried to play in the high altitude of Mexico City. Outside of that, Cain's been pretty on it.
Yeah, definitely. And now that it's sea level Cain, I think he might have a better shot.
Sea level Cain, of course, taking off for a beast of doom. And a guy from Men in Black 2, Mike Pyle, is back. I don't know why Mike Pyle's in the co-feature here, the pay card, but he's on this card in the welterweight bout, taking on Alex Garcia. Of course, we're talking about the big card, December the 30th, T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. If you'd like to set your sights in Las Vegas around New Year's Eve, this is a good one to go. You can go to New Year's, you can go to some entertainment down there, but the bottom line is on the 30th, you can watch this card live, the T-Mobile Arena, Amanda Nunes and Ronda Rousey. Now, we go to Bellator. What's happening in the world of Bellator across the pond? Is Scott Coker finally getting this promotion going here in your mind?
It seems like they're starting to generate more buzz for Bellator. I really like to see when they do these mixed matches or what can Bellator, when I look at it, it's like, okay, what can Bellator do to differentiate itself from the UFC? And one thing that I really liked that they did was when they did that tournament that was all those fights on the same night, which was kind of like old school UFC. I thought that was a lot more exciting and it was something different. And it was like, oh, well, this is something that they don't do in UFC anymore.
How about if we go back? I got a minute here before the break. How about if we go back to no time limit? I mean, this is Rumble. This ring the bell, and who's ever standing at the end wins.
I like it. I mean, it would be something different. Just see how it goes. I mean, it might not be the safest thing for the fighters, but if they could figure that out where they could do it in a safe way, I say why not?
Hey, the fighters like it. I've talked to a lot of MMA fighters. They like the concept of going for that, just going for broke, baby. Let's ring the bell, and whoever wins at the end wins at the end. You are tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. This is your Combat Sports Update, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. Of course, the annual WBO Convention, number 29, October 17th through 21st at the Caribbean Hotel in San Juan, Puerto Rico. This segment of Ring Talk, this segment of Sports Byline, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization.